returning from the hunt, I saw something incredible. A man was in a lair with very high and jagged walls where a family of lions had made their den. The wild beasts not only did not attack him as though fearing his strength, but played with him as though he were their friend.
Old mentor, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what he did that day.
I am your friend. Would you still be, if one day we were to face each other in the arena? Win or die. I hope I shall never have to fight against you tomorrow. You are very gentle.
I do not believe in miracles, but I put faith in the will of the gods and in the justice of our cause. What good is justice? What good is justice on the battlefield? There is no justice in war.
This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that shed his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so base. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here.
I did not fight for myself. I am a woman. My brother of arms is on the throne. And with him, the authority of men will be restored. If I should die, I promise to destroy the symbols of violence and of evil.
You yourself will destroy them tomorrow. You must not leave us.
Hello and welcome to this first episode of Prometheus Unbound, the show that takes a weird, off-color subject from the world of ancient Greece and Rome and serves it to you hot like Phaeton post driver's ed. Food for thought. I'm your host, classicist and Socrates in a basket philosopher, Christian Brady. This is the first episode in a series on a Roman epic called The Civil War, or Pharsalia. It's a story that I love, and I came up with this idea to see if I could explain why I love this story so much to people who aren't necessarily classical scholars, but still like a good story. I want to see if I could make other people fall in love with this poem, or at least get them interested in it, and maybe if they do, start looking at the other cool stuff in ancient Roman Greece that they didn't even know existed before. So we'll use Lucan and his civil war as the starting point. And the rest is up to you. After each episode, give me your thoughts, your questions, your corrections, an episode of Star Trek this reminded you of, whatever, and we'll roll with it. The point is, this is all about you, the listener. So, with that, let's get started. Today, with me, accompanying the show on its maiden voyage as guest host and fellow story guzzler, is the illustrious and prophetically named Claire Sibley.
Hi. Christian.
Hi.
How are you?
I should probably say that you're a poet also, and a student of English literature at my alma mater, and your soon-to-be alma mater, Middlebury College.
All of this true. In Vermont.
In Vermont, yes. So let's get started.
Let's go.
There are a bunch of things about Rome in the first century Common Era, that's AD, that make it hard to orient yourself. But none of it's impossibly hard to wrap your head around. Sometimes it just requires...
Calibration,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. So let's start with this one.
Okay.
Well, Brutus, thou art noble, yet I see thy honorable metal may be wrought from that it is disposed. Therefore it is
that
noble
Christian.
Minds keep ever with their lights, for who so firm that cannot be seduced? Caesar doth bear me hard, yet he loves Brutus. If I were Brutus now and he were Cassius, he should not humor me. I will this night... in several hands, in at his windows throw, as if they came from several citizens, writings, all tending to the great opinion that Rome holds of his name, wherein obscurely Caesar's ambition shall be glanced at. And after this, let Caesar seat him sure, for we will shake him, or worse days endure.
I think I'm quaking a little.
Yeah, no, it's intense.
Yeah, I'm feeling some dramatic quaking.
Yeah, yeah.
violins.
It's like the tornado in the
Wizard of Oz. Or like the dinosaurs in Fantasia.
Exactly. That's so good.
What was going on there?
So that's from the 1953 movie version of Julius Caesar, starring Marlon Brando as Brutus and James Mason as Mark Antony.
I think I recognize Brando.
Yes, very distinctive. And that's one of the intro scenes in which the conspirators are sort of trying to work up to stabbing Julius Caesar.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a great beginning. But let me show you where the really good stuff is, Christian.
Okay, go
okay?
ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
Cue it up.
So this is right after the murder, well, the assassination.
Be patient till the last. Hear me for my cause, and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor, and have respect to mine honor that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom, and awake your senses that you may the better judge.
Caesar, Caesar!
If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus' love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves, than that Caesar were dead to live all free men? No! Loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. As tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base that will be a bondsman? If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so rude that would not be a Roman? If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile that will not love his country? If any speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply. None, Brutus, none!
Okay, you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly why Shakespeare is Shakespeare.
What do you mean?
I mean, okay. So, the meat of this play is not Julius Caesar's death. That's not the tragedy. And the point of every I'm gonna go on a limb.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Every one of Shakespeare's tragedies is not the big death. It's the little tragedies. The collateral damages. I mean, here we have Brutus. Like we have Brutus who's going to become. Essentially, the tragedy is that he realized he screwed up in killing Caesar.
He had second thoughts.
He did. I mean, like, have you ever murdered a best friend?
No, I haven't.
Nor have I. But I mean, like, that's the point, right?
Right.
You never want to make that mistake.
No, I guess not.
But at the same time, he kind of had to.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess I never thought
you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's necessary for Shakespeare's audience to hear.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. It's like, that's why we keep coming back to Shakespeare, right? So
one of many, 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 many reasons.
Yeah, okay, one of many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the big deal. This is like the first major issue we have when we're dealing with Lucan's Pharsalia. It's how big a deal the Civil War really is. It's more than 10 years of violence and chaos that rocks the very like foundations of the Roman Republic and breaks every taboo in society.
Like what?
Name a taboo. Give
me... incest.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Sorcery.
Yes.
Blood falling from the sky.
Yes. Blood falls from the sky.
No, there was no blood.
No, yes, it does.
Are you serious?
It does. It, yes.
When?
Yes, it happens During the Battle of Pharsalia, in fact. Yes.
Oh, no, executions. There's even, mass executions.
Yes, mass executions. Okay. Mass murders, genocide.
Matricide?
Yes. Patricide? I think there's even a ghost involved at
all
one
right,
point.
All right,
and
I'm
zombies.
In.
There
I'm
are
in.
Zombies.
I'm sold.
Yeah. So, if war is hell, then the civil war that occurred in the first century BCE... That's
I mean, it's
the,
a particular kind of hell, right?
What do you mean?
It's the most intimate, because you look to your neighbor and you realize that you don't know them anymore. Like, as a people, you no longer have a collective identity.
Yeah, brother against brother.
Brutus against Caesar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
Backstabbing, literally.
Oh!
See what I did there?
Touche.
Mm-hmm.
So, the second issue is the status of the poet in the Roman world. And sort of like what the poet was there for, and how that might be different from what poets are now.
Radically.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. It is very, very different, I think. So, here's my question. Claire?
Yes.
Did you listen to the poet who closed the 2008 presidential inauguration?
The United States? No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, it was Elizabeth Alexander. She's a professor at Yale. She writes a bunch of poetry, and she won awards. She's great. So let me just play a cut for you of her inaugural poem, the one she read in front of pretty much like a million people at Obama's inauguration.
Probably more than a million.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so what's it called?
It's called Praise Song for the Day. So here we
Praise
go.
Praise Song for the Day. Each day we go about our business, walking past each other, catching each other's eyes or not, about to speak or speaking.
Yeah, let's
go. All about us is noise. All about us is noise and bramble, thorn and din.
Where is she?
Each one of our
bramble
ancestors
City?
On
you can't
our tongues.
Be so snarky.
Yes, it can. This
Why?
Is terrible.
Someone
it's
is
not,
stitching
is
up a hem, darning a hole
Who stitches
in a uniform,
now? Seamstresses.
Patching a tire.
She's talking
repairing
about society.
The things
oh.
in need of repair. Someone is trying to make music somewhere
this
with a pair
good.
Of wooden spoons
Listen.
On an oil drum with cello, boombox, harmonica, voice.
This is wish fulfillment. This is what we want America to be. I mean, Christian, that's not poetry. It's propaganda.
No, it's not. It's enriching our understanding of what it means to be an American.
I don't feel enriched, and I'm an American.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Wooden spoons?
Okay, it's somewhat hokey. It's somewhat hokey.
Somewhat hokey?
Yes.
It is completely devoid of poetic value.
It's
a litany attempting to evoke culture, and it fails.
Okay, all right.
Give me your take on it, because I'm not seeing the light here.
Okay, I think... I don't know what I think.
Where are your amber waves of grain, man?
I don't read a lot of poetry. I honestly don't read that much poetry.
I don't understand how you could exist that way.
It's true. It's a sad fact of things.
So, as a non-poet,
yes.
this poem appeals to what of your sensibilities?
I don't know. It's... I don't even know why it's there. I don't know why there are poets at the end of inaugurations. It seems awkward.
I mean, isn't it, like, traditional?
It's not traditional. There was an inaugural poet in the 1960s for JFK. That was Frost, and then
okay, that's a big name.
Maya Angelou spoke at Bill Clinton's inauguration. I guess
good choice.
Yeah. So I mean, sometimes some presidents do it. Sometimes they don't.
Wait, who didn't do it?
George W. Bush didn't do it.
Both times?
Both times he didn't do it.
All right. Well, I mean, have you read the most recent one? The most recent inaugural poem?
No, I have not.
It's terrible.
Is it terrible?
It's actually worse than this one.
This one's not that bad.
It talks about fruit stands. It talks about America as all of us as fruit shoppers. Are you a fruit shopper? Do you categorize yourself as an American fruit shopper?
I sometimes shop for fruit.
Yeah, but does that make you an American fruit shopper?
No, I guess not.
The problem is these poems are reaching for some kind of untouchable nostalgia for what of the idea of an American. And they fail because we're too cynical about it.
Yeah, I guess so. No, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Is that what poetry is supposed to do?
No, here's the thing. Okay, so Roman poetry. All right, Roman poetry
okay.
is mediating between extremes. You have like the nobles, the aristocracy on one side, and you have the public on the other, and the poets are trying to sort of integrate all of these sort of different, disparate views.
It's polyphonic.
Polyphonic. That's a good word. Yeah, exactly.
It's Latin, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's actually Greek.
Oh.
Yeah. Close.
Polyphonos?
Yes.
Oh.
There you go.
My bad. That's what Shakespeare does.
What do you mean?
What do you mean what I mean? Modulating the many different voices and presenting each of them in turn, so there's no single voice, there's no single view.
But see, that's the thing. So every now and then, a poet in Rome will say something that's not so,
diffident?
Yes, exactly, yeah. He'll speak his mind, and sometimes that poet gets in trouble. And it's because the role of the poet is an innately political one.
You know, this reminds me of, what Richard K. Morgan says through Quellcrist Falconer, who probably is stealing from someone else. The personal is fucking political.
I like that. It's very Roman. It's very Roman.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Eau Claire.
Yes.
I forgot something.
Okay.
There's the emperor.
Which one?
Nero.
Oh.
Here, let me give you a clip.
Okay, I want to sing.
Dubna, liar. This Jew will judge my song, Patronus.
That's him right there.
Will it be great enough to match the occasion? I'm seized with a sudden fear that it will not be great enough.
You will be worthy of the spectacle, as the spectacle is worthy of you.
You encourage me, Patronus. But I'm aware that I must compete with those who sang of the burning of Troy. My song must be greater, just as Rome is greater than Troy.
Silence, ye spheres! Be still, ye hurtling stars! Open wide vaulted skies above. Now at last, lo, I see Olympus, and a light from its summit doth illumine. I am one with the gods immortal. I am Nero, the artist, who creates with fire that the dreams of my life may come true. To the flames now I give the past, to the flames and so. Take now this rose. Oh, receive her glory flame. Consume her as would a furnace. Burn on, O ancient Rome! Burn on! Burn on!
So basically he's insane.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
Yeah, yeah. So something to remember.
Yeah.
So these are just a few of the different issues that you might encounter when you're first reading the Pharsalia, like the impact of the Civil War that it had on the Roman psyche and the political status of the poet, or the insanity of the Emperor Nero. But these aren't just issues that are restricted to Lucan's poem. They're cultural oddities that are going to hit you when learning about Rome for the first time in general. So that's it for today's show. I hope you liked it. I want to thank my lovely co-host, Claire Sibley.
It was my pleasure, Christian. Thank you.
Thank you so much for crossing the border just to be with us.
It's not that far.
No?
It's just across. What's it called? Nothing.
I hope you guys liked the episode. If you did or if you didn't, let us know at the Seeing Spectacles WordPress site. That's www.seeingspectacles.wordpress.com. Leave a comment or a question, and we'll try to address it in one of the next episodes. Thanks!